This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're presenting an hour of live radio theater, another production from Plan B Theater, and now Radio Hour, Episode 17, Sherlock Holmes and the Final Problem.
I take up my pen today with a heavy heart, for I had intended to stop writing about my friend, to say nothing of the tragedy. The very thought of him now rips me in half. But my hand has been forced by libel in the press, and so it passes to me to record what really happened at Reichenbach Falls between Professor Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes.
Don't scream!
Oh, Holmes, what the devil are you doing here?
I'm bleeding.
Oh, Lord, where? Where have you been shot?
No, but two of my knuckles are rather disarrayed.
Oh.
Look, do they need stitches?
Yes, how could you be in doubt? They're split wide open.
I was on the wing, by which I mean running for my life, and it was dark. Oh, might I trouble you for a match? I need tobacco. Now, I've apparently been ridden of my fire-making implements. Oh, my kingdom for a match.
I will not help you in your habit.
I'm in pain.
My office has been purged of matches.
Not entirely, I think.
You think wrongly.
Watson?
Holmes?
Watson, I've been burning both ends. Don't make me catalogue every clue pointing to white phosphorus matches.
You may find one match, and only one, in my copy of Grey's Anatomy.
What page?
221.
I knew that.
You did not.
You were like a pane of glass.
Whereas you are just a pane.
We'll accept your criticism in my weakened condition. The shutters open. Why are they open? You never leave your shutters open.
Yes, I do.
Shut them quickly.
Are you afraid of something?
Yes. I'm running for my life.
At this very moment?
I thought that was clear. Surely you can read the signs. My skin is flushed, my pupils dilated, my mouth is dry as a bone. Get the window.
Oh, of course. What am I watching for? Am I watching for anything?
No, they're too cunning to be seen.
They?
Yes, plural. And they have air guns.
Come again?
Air guns. Compressed gas instead of powder for propulsion. It's quieter, it's a bit more clean. The first model was built by Guter of...
Forgo the history. What I would like you to tell me...
Yes, I shall catch you up. But first, is Mr. Watson in?
Holmes, you know too well my husband is not Mr. Watson.
I will not call you by a different name at this point in our relationship. He will always be Watson to me, Watson. He will always be Mr. Watson.
My husband has a surname. I have taken it.
Which was very silly of you.
I wanted to.
Yes. You should come away with me for a week.
What? Where are you going?
Anywhere.
It's not in your nature to take aimless holidays.
Maybe I'm becoming a real boy, like Maxwell. Is Max here or not?
He is away.
Indeed. I knew you were alone.
Temporarily.
And thus free to join me.
Join you where?
Let's go to the continent.
To Europe?
We're in Europe, Watson, according to the map. I was thinking we could...
Sherlock Holmes, what have you gotten into? Explain yourself, or that pipe of yours goes into the rubbish bin.
Very well. We each have a different tolerance for the unknown. You have probably never heard of Professor Moriarty, have you?
Never.
And there's the genius of him. The man pervades London, and no one has heard of him, Watson. I can almost believe I've dreamt this kingpin. That is what puts him on a pinnacle. I tell you, though, if I could beat him, if I could free society of him, I would come to my pinnacle and be content with nothing but my chemical research.
Research conducted with what? Your beaker set or your body?
I cannot rest, Doctor. I cannot sit quiet in my chair knowing that such a man as Moriarty is walking the streets.
What has he done?
What is he not? He's the Napoleon of crime. For years past, I've been conscious of some power behind the malefactor, some deep organizing power that stands forever in the way of law and throws its cape over wrongdoers in cases of forgery and robbery and murder. I I felt the presence of this force. I've deduced its actions in many crimes for years. I've endeavored to unravel that veil that shrouded it. And at last the time came when I seized my thread and pulled until... Oh, I'm so close. The last steps have been taken. 3 days more, I might close the case.
Might?
Yes. The denouement is not certain. He dogs me. I was caught unaware in my room just this morning. I was expecting Mrs. Hudson with the tea tray.
Good morning! No, I am not your landlady, but not to worry, she is safe, insofar as anyone can be safe from me. You have less frontal development than I expected. How do you take your tea, Mr. Holmes?
I don't take it, not when demons are serving it.
Oh, please, would I stoop to such methods as poison? Be a good chap now and lay the gun on the table. Dangerous habit to finger a loaded firearm in the pocket of your dressing gown. It could go off. Lay it down.
I think not.
Evidently, you don't know me to make so cavalier a thing.
On the contrary, it is fairly evident I do, James Moriarty. At the age of 21, you wrote a treatise on binomial theorem, still cited in papers today. Well, you won the mathematical chair at one of our better universities and had, to all appearances, a famous career before you in maths and philosophy. And yet, rumors gathered, you resigned, came to London, set up shop as an army coach. Pray take a seat. I can spare you 5 minutes if you have anything to say.
All I have to say has crossed your mind.
Then possibly my answer has crossed yours.
But you intend to interfere with my business. Still, you stand fast.
Absolutely.
Disappointing. Do you mind if I set this tray down? Oh, so jumpy. So quick to violence. My disappointment is compounding by the second. I had pegged you as self-control. Now, watch closely. I am reaching, yes, into my pocket for my memorandum book. Slowly. No need to frighten your landlady with a bang, thank you. It is only paper and glue, see? Yes, here we are. You crossed my path in Chelsea on the 4th of January. On the 23rd, you incommoded me in Covent Garden. And by the middle of February, my, I was seriously inconvenienced. £1,000. By the end of March, hampered in my plans, S.H. again underlined. And look here, the close of April, no blossoms in the plum trees. I find myself in a position, through dogged persecution, that I... the lord of my domain, am in danger of losing my pension. The situation, Mr. Holmes, is becoming untenable.
Not bad if one considers my undeveloped frontal lobe.
A low-rated chess player can surprise a grandmaster.
Too right. Even dab hands like you can lose tempo in one game.
Tempo? Is that what you have? Your scheme depends on time.
If you think my scheme will not succeed, I'm open to constructive criticism.
You must drop it. You really must.
After Monday.
Oh, tut, tut. I'm sure a man of your intelligence can see there can be only one outcome. Your withdrawal is necessary. You have plied your trade in such a fashion we have but one course left. It has been a treat to see how you've grappled with this affair, and I say unaffectedly it would be grievous were I forced into extremis. Oh, you smile, sir, but I assure you, we could be brothers.
Whatever similarity clogs our blood, it is dwarfed by the many differences.
I am giving you a safe way out.
No, thank you. Danger is part of my trade, and I am prepared to meet it.
This is not danger. It is inevitable destruction. You stand in the way not merely of an individual, but a mighty organization. You must stand clear, Mr. Holmes, or be smashed.
I fear that in the pleasure of this conversation, I'm neglecting other business. Do you mind showing yourself out, Professor?
Seems a pity, but I have done what I could. I know every move of your gambit. You can do nothing before Monday. It has been a duel between you and me, Mr. Holmes. You hope to cage me, but I tell you, I will never be caged. You hope to kill me, short of locking me up, but your moment will not come. If you are blessed enough by fortune to visit havoc upon me, rest assured I will repay the blessing.
Could I be sure of your chains, Moriarty? In the public interest, I would welcome my curtain call.
Oh, I can promise curtains, but not chains.
Holmes, why did you not shoot him in the leg? He was in your study.
I felt paralyzed. His way of speaking leaves a conviction of sincerity a bully could not produce.
And you've already been assaulted.
I was nearly trampled by a two-horse van. A brick shattered at my feet from 10 stories up. En route to you, a man with a billy club. I knocked him down and cut my knuckles on his teeth. I dare not leave your house by the front door.
Will you spend the night here? You could stay here in my consulting room.
No. You might find me a dangerous guest, and I have plans laid. Matters have gone so far as they can move without my help in terms of the arrest, although my survival will be vital for convicting him in court. So again, it would please me if you would come to the continent. Your practice is quiet.
How do you conjure that?
The indentation on your right middle finger. It's less pronounced than usual. You've been taking fewer notes on your patients.
True.
You also have an accommodating neighbor.
False. She is not friendly at all.
She gave you a plate of roast chicken.
Have you been in my kitchen?
She'll watch over the place.
How do you know about the chicken?
She likes to watch. I saw her in the window. I bet you 10 shillings the woman will water your plants, though she might read your correspondence.
Explicate the chicken.
You have a grease stain on your blouse. Clearly from a Sussex hen.
Oh.
Also, it's on your breath.
How can you smell anything with that pipe in your face?
Raw talent. Oh. Can we start tomorrow?
Tomorrow? As in the day after this one?
Yes, and the one before the next.
What do you want me to say to that? Oh, I should be so glad to go to somewhere in Europe, honestly. Did you come here expecting me to swim blithely into the tide of adventure?
I will accept you with or without blitheness, though I prefer you blithe. Shall we say 9 o'clock?
If necessary.
I see it as necessary.
Then yes, I will come. After I stitch your hand.
Brilliant. Stitch away, but take this before I forget.
What's this?
I took the liberty of scribbling some instructions for you, and I beg you, Joanna, obey them to the letter. For we are now playing a game against the worst rogue I have ever met.
The next morning, I read my scribbled instructions with a flutter of nerves. I sent for a hansom cab, telling my butler to take neither the first nor second cab presenting itself. I leapt into the seat and gave the address to the cabman on a slip of paper. Do not throw that away.
Whatever you say, Poppy.
My back sweating, I held the coins ready and paid the fare no sooner than we stopped at the Lowther Arcade. I dashed through the market, as best as I could with my cane, timing everything to reach the other side at 9:15. As Holmes promised, a brougham was waiting by the curb with a very massive driver, black cloak, red collar.
Looking for me, missy?
I am not a missy, I am a doctor.
Oh, my mistake. Any baggage?
Only what you see.
Oh, cheers to me, then. I can accommodate everything I see. I never had a woman doctor. Let me help you inside.
I'm not an invalid.
What's the cane for?
The last man to ask me that did not like my answer. I can climb a step. Drive. I swung into my second carriage, tempering myself, and felt glad for the roof and walls. Without any directions from me, the man rattled us to Victoria Station and sped off with a wink. So far, the plan had gone well. My luggage waited for me, dispatched the night before, and I had no difficulty in finding the train car that Holmes had indicated, the only one marked engaged. My only source of anxiety was the non-appearance of Holmes. Oh, where are you, dear boy? The station clock read 7 minutes from the time of departure. In vain, I searched among the clumps of travellers. There was no sign of him. Oh, come on, Holmes, don't leave me at the station. I paced the depot and, in my vexation, argued with a porter who was flat out refusing to help an old Italian priest.
Il mio bagaglio deve andare a Parigi.
I can't understand a word you're saying, you wrinkled git.
He's saying his luggage ought to go through to Paris.
Grazie.
Who are you, his lady love?
No, I am not his mistress, but I am appalled by your treatment.
Well, take your seat, then. I can manage my own affairs.
Plainly, you cannot, as I had to translate for you.
Istatamente ha visto patato più intelligente di quest'uomo.
What's he saying now?
I'd rather not relate it.
Then hobble off, you bint.
I beg your pardon.
What happened to you anyway? Your daddy beat you for your back talk.
C'è tu posso bruciere.
All right, it's all right. I can handle him. You will book the Padre's bags for the city in France spelled P-A-R-I-S, or I will find your supervisor and have you sacked on account of prejudice.
Who's prejudice?
You are. Against Italians, against my sex, against my condition. I carry the cane because of war. It was the Afghan war that happened, not my daddy. Unlike yourself, he was a decent man.
Well,
Buon viaggio, padre.
Buon viaggio.
My teeth on edge, I had a last look round and then slumped again to the car. An icicle grew in my stomach. Moriarty must have made his move. Holmes wasn't here. The doors had been shut, the whistle blown. I entered the car and...
My dear Watson!
Holmes! Was that you arguing with the porter?
A simple disguise. A hat, a robe, a few wrinkles. Every precaution is necessary. I have reason to think they're hot on our trail. Ah, Moriarty himself!
The engine began to chuff, and glancing back, I saw the rapscallion through wavy glass, tall, thin, pushing through the crowd.
Stop the train! Stop this train! Police!
His forehead was domed in a white curve, his eyes sunk deeply into his head, his face was a hatchet, and in a long split second it oscillated to find me. He peered at me with a cold, metallic curiosity. Moriarty was no dream in the mind of Sherlock Holmes. He was only too real. I willed the train to gather speed. We shot clear of the station.
Well, with all our precautions, we cut it rather fine, didn't we? I almost broke character and used potitsu on that porter.
If I'd had my bag, I may have performed a circumcision on him.
That would have been a fine mess. Have you seen the morning paper?
You could have told me how to recognize you on the platform. I was worried sick.
Had I told you, they might have pried it out of you. Did you see the article?
What article?
In the paper. They set fire to 221B.
Oh, my lord. Were you there? Mrs. Hudson...
We extracted ourselves. No harm done. The arson could only have been spiked. Otherwise, Mrs. Hudson and I would be charcoal. They did, however, indubitably take the precaution of watching you, regardless of whether they saw me at your place. That is what brought Moriarty to the depot. You made no slip in coming.
I did as you asked.
You found the driver in black and red.
Yes, he was waiting.
Did you recognize him?
Should I have?
My brother Mycroft.
I would have known if Mycroft...
My brother's gifted with disguises.
He called me a woman doctor.
Yeah, he's less gifted with the fairer sex.
Remind me to slap him later.
With relish. But we must plan what to do about Moriarty.
Do? We're on the express and the boat runs in connection with it. I should think we have shaken him off.
Watson, did you not realize my meaning when I said this man walks the same intellectual plane as me? If I were the pursuer, would I allow myself to be baffled?
What will he do?
What I should do.
What would you do?
Engage a special train.
But it must be later than ours.
By no means. The express will stop at Canterbury, and there's always a quarter hour's delay at the boat. He will catch us.
Have him arrested at the harbour.
They'd wreck the work of 3 months. The authorities would get the big fish, but the smaller would dart left and right. On Monday, we should have them all. No, an arrest is not acceptable yet.
Then we shall get out at Canterbury.
Ooh, Watson, I can feel you kicking in the tide of adventure, and I agree. Out at Canterbury, and then...
Overland to New Haven.
And then...
To Dieppe, in France.
While Moriarty does what?
I don't know.
What would I do?
If Moriarty was in fact watching me, he knows my luggage was marked for Paris. He will get on to Paris, and he will wait.
Very good. You got there slowly, but you got there. I have missed you, you know.
Pish. You miss me lighting your pipe when your matches go missing. It's the truth. If not for Mrs. Hudson and me, 221B would have burnt far sooner.
No, the truth is, The truth is, I should try to nap. I got hardly a wink last night. Oh, my, here comes the Thames. Do you want the window?
What were you going to say?
Nothing. My wit failed me.
I don't believe you. The truth is what?
Boring. The truth is boring, Watson. What I was going to say was, I never lost a matchstick in my life.
Oh.
I thought you knew that.
I didn't. I was not aware.
Really?
Would you like anything from the refreshment cart?
No, thank you for offering. My guts have been mixed this morning.
I had bicarbonates in my handbag.
No, it requires no intervention.
As you wish. Time will do the trick.
The best drug of all time, barring some alternative.
Quite. Well, excuse me.
Yes.
I just realized you don't speak Italian. When did you learn Italian?
I suppose it was about the time you and Max had your Venetian honeymoon.
I see. Excuse me.
I see. Excuse me. I didn't. I was not aware. She knew. She knows. She always knew.
You have less frontal development than I expected.
Good God, I need a tranquilizer.
How do you take your tea?
No, 2 days more, ma'am. 2 more days.
It seems a pity, but I have done what I could.
Stop it!
At Canterbury, we found a wait of 60 minutes before the train to New Haven. I was still watching the luggage van disappear with my wardrobe when Holmes pulled my sleeve and pointed at the line. Close by, in the Kentish woods, a plume of white smoke, a train with only one car.
The Professor!
Are you sure?
Positive!
Oh, I wish you were less bright sometimes.
Save your wish, Doctor. We should hide. Oh. That luggage, there.
The engine flew along the curve. We barely had time to conceal ourselves when it passed with a bang and a roar, a whiffling of hot air in our faces.
There he goes, that overgrown bat!
Bloody hell, the train will come apart!
I think not, but there is a bright side for us. We have seen the limits of the imp's intelligence. It would be a coup de maître had he not deduced what I would have and acted accordingly, but he did not.
And what would he have done if he'd overtaken us before Canterbury?
Murder? Attempted murder? Assault? He would have hopped trains and put a leaden slug in my person. It is, however, a sport at which two may play.
You mean three?
Three?
I didn't come for the fresh air. And if this lowlife even lifts his right arm, I have my revolver. I'll use it.
I know you would, but the lowlife is left.
Whichever arm he lifts.
The question now is, do we take a premature lunch or take the chance of starving before New Haven?
No one is starving. I have biscuits.
Chocolate? Do you have chocolate?
Raisin?
Oh, why have you become such a missionary for raisins? Other foods have been discovered, you know, since the dried grape.
Fiber is not dispensable in one's diet.
My work requires concentrated sugar. I eat for the brain, not the intestines. Oh, I'm going to starve!
By nightfall, we had pushed ourselves to Brussels, abandoning the luggage in Paris out of caution. Holmes demanded we stay in one room.
Doctor?
You must stand clear.
Doctor, is that you?
You must stand clear, Mr. Holmes, or be smashed.
Dr. Watson?
Yes, it's me. Did I execute the knocking correctly?
Where did we meet?
On the stairs, outside your flat. May I come in?
What was I wearing?
Trousers.
What kind of hat?
Really, Holmes?
Describe the hat.
It was a deerstalker hat, herringbone wool, black and tan, rather stained.
Thank you, unless you need me to guess what size of hat.
Your answer will suffice. I think we need code words.
If you suspect Moriarty of being able to imitate a lady's voice, then yes.
We have been witness to stranger things. Recall the adventure of the blue carbuncle? A man hid a garnet inside of a goose.
But did he train it to sound like me? You are being paranoid.
I am being careful, for both our sakes. You smell of lavender.
I availed myself of a Belgian perfumery. Is that inconvenient to you? You said yourself Moriarty would head on to Paris, some 190 miles away.
It is not a matter of convenience, Watson. It will distract me from other scents.
Now I'm distracting. I thought my presence on the continent would be a boon.
It is helpful, but please check with me before dousing yourself in attractive eau de toilette.
I was not trying to attract you.
No, of course not. That did not follow from my grammar. I only meant that in the abstract, the fragrance may, in fact, attract somebody.
I will consider your clarification. Where did you find a violin?
The hotel bar. Rented it from a minstrel they'd sadly engaged to play.
Do you not think Moriarty knows his quarry to play the violin and might trace the particularities of his concertos?
I believe we're safe on such a score.
Then I will thank you not to read me the riot act over my perfume.
You have my contrition, but I beg you, Watson, to reappraise the possibilities. Moriarty sits like a yellow sack spider in the center of his web, and that web has 1,000 radiations. Does he have an agent in Belgium? Likely.
Stop pacing.
Oh, I have to move.
Explore the city, then, as a priest.
Must I repeat myself forevermore? The man who is hunting us, Watson,
What you must do, Holmes, is marshal your feelings. You are better than this. You seem tachycardic.
My heartbeat is regular.
I'm getting my stethoscope.
Don't!
I will, because that is what I can do. Sit on the bed. Lift up your shirt.
I am fit as a foxhound. No.
Sit down. Shirt up. Shut up. Take a deep breath for me. Good. Again, please. Now the heart. Breathe normally so I can listen.
No, your hands are frozen!
No talking.
Have you been ice fishing?
Your pulse is galloping faster by the second.
It's because your touch is colder than the hooves of Krampus.
You have to center yourself.
How do I do that? I forgot my extracts.
Play the violin for me.
I've been playing. I'd rather smoke.
Not in the room, please. I cannot return to Max with a dress that smells like a Mississippi steamboat. And in that same vein, neither you nor I shall mention these arrangements to my husband. Understood?
As you like.
He can be, occasionally, somewhat covetous.
Somewhat.
Although in your case, he has no reason to be.
Of course not.
As I've told him countless times, for God's sake, the idea of us together.
Unthinkable. You and I, and I and you, the two of us, would be totally, terribly too unsuited for each other.
If we are having that conversation, then yes, we would be. Mostly because of you.
Yes. Wait, why because of me?
Sherlock, you are slovenly, obsessed with work, and the perfect imitation of a brain living in a vat.
Oh, well then, from my point of view on this hypothetical, we are specifically mismatched because you've proven imperious, stubborn as a rusty nail, and intellectually average.
Oh. Yet in some we agree.
We do, in some.
Then play me something.
If you recommend it as my doctor, I will. I will regale you through the night.
We spent 2 days in Belgium cooped up. I never saw him sleep except fitfully on the train for Strasbourg upon the Rhine in France. In the blue dawn of Monday, he telegraphed to London. Come evening, I sat in the Hotel Salamange, awaiting the reply and wondering where he was. On my orders, he'd marched out of our dark, shuttered suite to smell the lilac and forsythia then blooming. I'd half expected him to balk. But as I poked at my sautéed mushrooms, he'd been gone for hours.
Pardon, mademoiselle?
Madame.
Je m'excuse. Madame, I notice you have been stabbing your portobello instead of eating it, as is our custom.
The fault is not yours.
No, merci, but may I be so bold as to inquire where the blame should be set as I refill your wine?
Oh, no. No, I drink one glass with dinner.
Oh, dinner is a fluid concept from one country to the next, no? In France, dinner will not begin for several hours, Dr. Bramby.
How did you know my name?
I am the maitre d'. It is my job to know. Please, drink up. It is complimentary.
No, thank you. Please take it away.
I must insist. Our finest vintage.
I'm not thirsty.
Oh, drinking wine is not about thirst. It is...
Oh, dear. I've dropped it. I know who you are.
Madame, I am mystified by your behavior. If you did not want...
You could not know my husband's name. I have not used it in Strasbourg.
Shh, doctor. Perhaps we should migrate to the foyer for this badinage? Hmm?
I prefer the dining room. What is it you want? I assume you are his agent.
I belong to myself, madame. The management that I only desire that you enjoy your holiday without mishap. Oh, mon Dieu, chérie. I see a spot of rust on your knife. Allow me to polish it. I deplore this kind of carelessness. I will have to speak with the kitchen staff.
I count 7 witnesses.
Witnesses? To what, Madame Doctor?
Whatever Moriarty has made you do.
I have never heard this name.
If you so much as swipe at me...
Oui, je sais. You will reach into your handbag for a Mark II Adams revolver. The only problem with such a plan is that your waitress, Elise, she removed it for me surreptitiously minutes ago. Par conséquent, you will listen. You and your friend must make a little curtsy, exit stage right, and let the curtain come down.
At this juncture, we cannot go back. We telegraphed the police this morning.
We know of your communique. That does not concern us. What concerns us
At that very moment, Sherlock Holmes came into the room, a message in hand. My eyes flitted to him. The maitre d' dropped the knife and whisked away from my table and toward the kitchen. Holmes! The maitre d', the waitress! We have to stop them! Holmes, the maitre d', the waitress! We have to stop them! My stolen Mark II. It sprayed bullets out the kitchen door. I grabbed a silver tray from my table and tossed it toward Holmes. He caught it. A bullet ricocheted from the tray and knocked it from his hands. Holmes fired back into the steaming kitchen. We gave chase, tromping past the busboys and cooks, down the stairs, out into an alley. But the maitre d' and my waitress had fled onto a boulevard of theatergoers. Holmes tracked them as far as the Rue de Port-Duran. And then we turned back, suspecting they wanted us to wander by the factories and dockyards along the wide, black, moonlit river.
You should leave and return to your practice, Watson. This is more than you bargained for. Leave me. I will stare into this fire until I've disentangled everything. This is a 10-pipe problem. Leave.
I survived. Must I repeat myself forevermore?
I thought the man's occupation was gone. In London, they nicked the whole gang, dozens of men, but still, he mobilizes 2 agents in Strasbourg, of all places. And how? I don't know. I don't know, Watson. You had better return to England.
Bollocks!
Moriarty has lost his homeland, probably. I've checked his king, I've captured his rook and forced him to the middle of the board, but he has a knight. So far, better pawn structure. If I read his character right, he will devote his power to revenge.
Your appeal to chivalry is not winning me over. I have campaigned against criminals before. You are my friend, and I just saved your life. Again.
The maitre d' could have slit your throat.
He didn't. He ran. I was in danger, yes, but what else is new?
Your husband, Max? I was thinking of him, too.
Perhaps allow me to think about my husband.
Have you written him?
He would not receive a letter for days.
But if anything should happen...
Where is your spark, old boy? Do I have to shine with optimism for both of us? When have you been beaten?
When? The Peridol Chamber, the Grice-Pattersons, the loss of Sophie Anderson, the Camberwell poisoning, the 5 orange pips, and twice through the wit of Irene Adler.
Yes, but what is your record overall?
I'm tired, Joanna. And I'm afraid.
Do you want your pipe?
Is this what we've come to, you encouraging me and my bad habits? No, I need no pipe tonight. I should press on.
We should sleep. You should sleep a good 10 hours.
I am not going to blunder on account of creature comforts. I'm pressing on. Geneva.
For a week, we wandered up the Rhone in Switzerland, and then, branching off, made our way over the Gemmi Pass, still deep in snow. It was a lovely trip. The dainty green of spring below, the virgin white of winter above. But Holmes did not forget the shadow lying across him. He felt Moriarty was a puppeteer of everyone we met. Once, I remember, as we passed over the Gemmi with the mountain guide, walking along the border of a melancholy lake.
Lancelot! Oh. Come on, take cover!
We have to move! Oh. Over your head!
That was not natural.
A common occurrence in springtime. I have seen boulders as big as houses splash into this lake. Happens all the time, my friends.
I'm going to race up that ridge, friend, and check it out.
Mr. Holmes, a fall of stones is nothing to investigate.
It's vanity to argue, sir. In a trice, he'll be standing on the crag up there, craning his neck in every direction around the Alps.
Mr. Holmes, please, do not climb without the proper gear. It was pure chance.
Poppycock! Erosion by water cannot explain the descent of that boulder.
And yet, for all his apprehension on our holiday, he did show some lightness of being. Later, on a granite bench, the sun setting in front of us, he told me,
"I have not lived in vain, Watson."
I should say not.
If my book were closed tonight, I would feel peace.
The air of London is sweeter for your presence. You must know that much.
In over 1,000 cases, I'm not aware that I've ever used my powers on the wrong side. Have I? Ever?
You may have committed some infractions, but from where I sit, if you let a man walk away, it's charity, and done with well-wishing and faith in human nature.
Faith in human nature? Me?
You have no reason to second-guess yourself. You should have no regrets.
Well,
none.
Some. I regret calling you intellectually average. It was a rank lie and childish of me. I think you remarkable, in case you have any doubts. Remarkable. Inside and out.
I find myself waiting for the twist.
No twist. Not today. I admire you, Joanna, more than I dare express.
Holmes.
I understand we've always seen a deeper intimacy. It's impossible, but I prefer to frame it as highly unlikely.
What part of the hypothetical so tempts you that you forget the odds?
Oh, do you really want to hear what questions have kept me up?
No, I don't. And the man who laid a trap for Moriarty's gang should know there is a trap in telling me this.
Maybe I want to be trapped.
What you want is not available. Nor is it mutually felt.
Well, the first part of that is true, but I can supply facts against the second.
You don't see everything.
I have a prepared list.
Of course you
with
do.
With 14 items.
I would like to get back. It's getting dark.
Fact one, the lady doth protest too much.
Fact two, the gentleman is dangerously close to not being a gentleman.
So you never picture us together.
We should get back down the mountain.
Give me this much. Do you never picture us?
Why do you ask now? You have never shown any abiding interest in women.
Are you not a woman?
I should not be counted. I'm the only woman you've ever been close to, including your mother. That says something.
Pray tell, what does it say?
Something.
What thing?
You know.
Suppose I do. Suppose your implication that my alleged lack of interest in women has not been lost on me. Still, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
No, but it is expressive. The absence of all relationships in your life is expressive. I can appreciate that your identity in personal matters is complicated.
No, fact three, you criticize too much to not like me more than you let on.
That's not a fact.
It's an inductively drawn conclusion based on a number of observations.
Made in the first person?
Yes, I've not transcended my body.
You know, anyone can do what you do. It's just a game with language.
Is it?
At least in part. You say things as if they're authoritative and people believe you. Like so. Fact four. The love of friendship is not lesser than, but still love. What do you think about that, Does that survive your intellectual rigor?
Joanna.
Or how about this one, Holmes? Fact five. This conversation is over.
Joanna. Come back. Joanna. Please.
In the town of Meringen, we stayed at the Englischer Hof, then kept by Mr. Styler, an expat from London. Upon his advice, the afternoon of May 4th, we set out, intending to cross the hills and spend the night at Rosenlau. We were strictly enjoined, however, to see the falls. You must see the falls, Mr. Styler told us. On no account can you pass them by. They will not disappoint, I wager. Reichenbach Falls, a fearful place. The torrent of ice melt plunges into an abyss. The vapor rolls up like smoke from a burning house. The shaft below is lined by cool black rock, glistening and narrowing into a creaming, boiling pit of unseeable depth.
It's astounding! The power of it! I feel giddy from the vibration!
Come away from the edge, please!
You need to see the water from here!
I am impressed from where I am!
Give me your hand, Watson!
We should be hiking on!
It's time to linger! Come!
Holmes bounded farther up the trail. The path had been cut halfway round the fall to afford a panorama, though it ends abruptly, and the traveller must come back as they went. I was watching his hat grow wet in the spray when a Swiss lad came running up the spur with an envelope in his hand.
Dr. Watson! Oh. Doctor!
Hello, lad. Do you know me?
They tell me to run all the way.
Who did?
The hotel. A woman. Very sick.
Oh.
Here.
The envelope bore the mark of Englischer Hof. The hotel, which we had just scarcely left, and was addressed to me from Mr. Styler, the landlord.
What is it, Watson?
Someone's had a hemorrhage, an English woman at the hotel. Oh, consumption. And she's refusing to see a Swiss doctor. I have to go back, Holmes. Unless you categorically need me to stay with your nerves.
Let me see the letter.
They say to hurry, Doctor.
Who did? Mr. Styler?
Yes, he says the family will sue him if he cannot help the woman.
It is Styler's writing. It looks right.
Oh, I have a scruple about leaving you, Holmes. Suppose we double back together.
Oh, I should like to stay longer at the falls. They enchant me. The boy can keep me company for a pound, eh? Be my tour guide boy.
Yes, sir.
You can join me in Rosenlau in the evening. Not to worry.
Are you certain?
I usually am.
I do have my oath. I cannot let a fellow countrywoman die in a strange land.
So it is. Do your duty. We have miles together, Watson.
But only if...
And be gentle with that leg of yours on the way down.
Righto.
Go forth.
I should.
Cheers, then.
Cheers. But about what I said on the summit...
Doctor.
About your identity and the way I insulted your
my
skill...
My psychology is far from your priority. Go.
He winked at me, and I should have known he was only pretending confidence. But I hurried down the trail without looking back. Mr. Styler! Where is she? Mr. Styler! I trust she is no worse.
Dr. Watson!
Oh, I tried to hurry.
I see that. You are drenched in sweat. What brings you all the way back?
Did you not write this? What? I have a letter about a sick woman in your hotel.
What rascal told you that? Who gave you this? It's my stationery, but... Ha! It must have been that tall fellow who came in after you'd gone. Oh. English!
I was out the door before he finished. In a crush of horror, I bounded up the village street, the waterfall roaring in my head. I cannot know what happened between them, of course, but... Many a night have I lain sleepless, hearing his voice. And then the other voice.
Watson, is that you? Back already?
It would be sweet, would it not? Were this Joanna emerging from the mist?
Ah, Moriarty. I thank you to not use her name.
My Jo shall safely here abide, with music pass the day, whilst I among the piercing pikes my foes seek far away.
Jolly good of you to entertain me in the end of days.
You accept your fate, then?
Watch closely. reaching into my pocket for a loaded firearm slowly. No need to frighten the boy by lunging at me.
It is only for the money, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, yes, no hard feelings. Run along.
It is only for the money.
You can make it up to me, lads. Now, run as fast as you can. There. Alone. Two of us. No gun in my pocket. I'm throwing it over the falls.
Oh.
I gave your little messenger there a pound sterling to wait with me.
I got the better bargain.
On the contrary, I got my money's worth. The boy has heard everything I know about moral philosophy.
That cannot be much. You're not alone for 5 minutes.
The essentials can be compacted.
Oh, I feel a sermon coming down from these mountains.
No sermon, Professor. Only this. Forget about Watson. Apply yourself to mathematics. You could revolutionize the whole field.
And deny myself the pleasure of breaking your body.
Damn you, man. You don't have to act like apes.
I told you there would be one outcome and only one. You have struck your holy blow against my low-level associates. But for that action, there will be an equal and opposite reaction, Holmes.
Then shoot! Go ahead and shoot me like an old dog.
I have not come to execute you. Again, you underestimate me. I shall fight you hand to hand like an ape. Though I shall let you write your last words to Joanna before I grind your cheek into these pebbles. Here's a sharp new pencil for you. Write!
You have not won yet.
Not yet, no. But you will write to your Joanna. And then, dear boy, we will see your brains at last. Everywhere!
Holmes! I came to the falls and shouted over the cliff. Holmes! My answer came in rolling echoes. I turned and studied the ground, and the gleam of something caught my eye. A silver cigarette case, his. And inside, a square of paper.
My dear Watson, I write these few lines through the courtesy of Moriarty. He's giving me a sketch of the methods by which he kept himself informed of our movement, and they confirm my opinion of his abilities. I continue to think, however, that I shall free society of him. I fear the cost of doing so will give pain to my friends, and perhaps especially to you, Watson. If I confess fully, I knew the letter from Mr. Styler was a hoax. I allowed you to leave on your errand, knowing I would meet my end here. Tell the inspector that the papers necessary to convict the gang are in Pigeonhole M. I made every disposition of my property and passed it to my brother Mycroft, excepting, of course, my collection of tobacco pipes, which I bequeath to you. Give my regards to Mr. Watson, and believe me to be very sincerely yours, Sherlock Holmes.
Any attempt at recovering the bodies was hopeless. And there, deep down in that cauldron of swirling and seething, will I forever the champion of the law. Of their avenging overlord, nothing could be said in court. And if I have been compelled now to make a statement of his criminality in this magazine that has heretofore published my accounts, it is due to these muckrakers, the brother of Moriarty among them, who attack Sherlock Holmes and have had the gall to question my relationship with him. I will swear upon the crown that he was a gentleman. What you have read here, to the best of my recollection, is what happened. I have held back only the scenes and dialogue too painful to see in longhand. But I tell you, my friend deserves a posthumous knighthood. I shall ever regard him, love him, as the best and wisest man I have ever known.
Plan B Theatre's Radio Hour, Episode 17, Sherlock Holmes and the Final Problem, was written by Matthew Ivan Bennett, adapted from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The show was performed by Jay Perry, Isabella Reeder, and Doug Fabrizio. The lighting was designed by Emilio Casillas, the projections designed by Daniel Sharon. Original music composed and performed by Dave Evanoff, based on themes from Johann Sebastian Bach. Sound design and e-foley by Joe Killian. Our stage manager is Bridget Lehman. Sound engineered by Brian Albers and Jay Clark, with help from David Childs. The show was directed by Cheryl Ann Clough. Radio West is a production of KUER, produced by Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. Carrie Watson is our executive producer. I'm Doug Fabrizio.